Doing away with the I notion is the same as not desiring the personal attainment of enlightenment. Not desiring that is having it. For having it is, in any case, merely being rid of that which concealed what is forever that which alone we are. Therefore, not desiring personal attainment of that is at the same time the elimination of the I notion, which constitutes its concealment. The idea of liberation automatically inhibits the simple realization that we are free. The Master's exhortations to abjure thinking do not imply the suppression of thought, but the reorientation by articulation of the impetus that results in dualistic thought into its immediate expression. Suppressed thought is a negative aspect of the dualism, thought, no thought. Another mode of thought itself, and one half of a pair. Whereas what the masters mean is Wu Nian, which is the absence of both counterparts, thought and no thought, which is the presence of the suchness of thought. And that is expressed in spontaneous action. Pure action arising from non-action. Wu Wei. Wu Nian is the presence of the absence of no thought. The seeing of truth cannot be dualistic, that is, a thing seen. It cannot be seen by a seer or via a seer. There can only be a seeing, which itself is truth. The space-time, subject-object, phenomenal universe is a manifestation of mind, of which day and sleep dreaming are examples in a second degree. The result of this individualization process, based on seriality, which all degrees of dreamers know as reality, has no objective resemblance to that which causes it to appear. Because that which causes it to appear has no objective quality at all. Therefore, that is totally inaccessible to any form of objective cognition, let alone of description. The only words that can indicate it at all are this, here, now, and am, and in a context that is entirely abstract. The negative method is provisional only. It turns from the positive to its counterpart, and then negates both. That wipes out everything objective and leaves an emptiness which represents fullness, total absence which represents total presence. Here, the thinking and not thinking process ends, and the absence itself of that is the inconceivable. Inconceivable for whoever attempts to conceive it. But who suggested that we should do that? My head is the center of the universe. Everything I see, sense, know is centered in my head. All the objects of which my head is subject. But I cannot see, sense, or know my head, and the inference of its existence is inadmissible, sensorially unjustifiable. I perceive no such object. All other objects, but not that. My head alone is not my object. Of course not. It is subject. And an eye cannot see itself. I cannot sensorially perceive myself. Subject cannot know itself. For that which is known is thereby an object. Subject cannot subsist as its own object. So, all that is object appears to exist. Subject alone does not appear to exist. But object cannot exist apart from subject, whose manifest aspect it is. Therefore, it is apparently inexistent subject that is, and apparently existent object that is not. Yet, since object is subject, and subject is object, intemporarily, that which they are, all that they can be, and all that is the absence of my head, which is also the presence of everything. Where then am I? Where then are you? We are our absence. Nowhere where I am an object, am I? Nor where any part of me is an object, is it part of me or is mine? Only here, where I can see nothing, am I. And I am only an absence objectively. When I realize that, I cease also to be an individual I. For anything individual is thereby an object. My objective absence is the presence of pure non-objectivity, which is just that. My only existence is non-objective, as non-objectivity itself. I cannot be portrayed in any way drawn, photographed, or described. That which impersonally I am has no qualities or resemblance to an individual subject-object, which is purely conceptual. My objective self only has a conceptual existence. Non-objectively, I am the apparent universe. Identifying myself with my conceptual object is what constitutes bondage. Realizing that my conceptual object only exists insofar as it and its subject are this phenomenal absence, here and now, constitutes liberation. I am my phenomenal absence. There is no mystery whatever, only inability to perceive the obvious. He has nowhere to hide, as Mumon put it. The supposed or apparent mystery is due to the objective inexistence of pure non-objectivity, which is the Buddha nature. Because objectivity is only conceptual, and non-objectivity is incompatible with any degree of positivity. Huang Po said it categorically. Our original Buddha nature is, in highest truth, devoid of any atom of objectivity. What is there mysterious in this here, now, am, which is everywhere, and apart from which nothing else is? This which is pure presence, autonomous and spontaneous. It is this which is looking for itself when we look for it, and we cannot find it because it is this which we are. Objectively, It is not here.